The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Wednesday, December the 17th, 2025. We thank you for listening. I'm Tim Wildman, and in studio with me today is Tony Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Tony.
Good morning.
Your dad, Ed, is he off to 2026?
He has sailed away. Yeah. Not to see him. We won't see him until next year.
Next year. I think he's coming in
Friday. He's coming up Trivia Friday.
Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning to you, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Chris. So, for those of you watching on the internet, watch YouTube, Facebook, or our own streaming service. What is our streaming service, Tony?
Yeah, you can go to stream.afa.net, stream.afa.net. Watch the video stream there.
Yeah.
You can listen to us on afr.net or the AFR app.
This week at our offices, our HR department decided to have a fun thing every day for our staff to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
And today was, wasn't today like costume day or something like that, or dress up your favorite?
I would hope it is.
This movie character day.
Anyway, my wife last week, she said, hey, you're going to participate in this. I'm going to order you something on that there internet, as Ed calls it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're watching, guess who I am? I am none other than, go ahead.
Well, Clark Griswold.
Clark Griswold. We got the sweater, the tie, and the hat. I'm not going to wear the hat much longer here because I'm not going to make y'all look at that the whole show. But anyway, Clark Griswold, Christmas vacay.
We need to get you like one of those moose-shaped eggnog mugs like he has in the film.
Yeah. We need one of y'all to come in next year, at least if I do this again, as Cousin Eddie.
Oh, yeah, back it up, yeah. I think Ed. We can volunteer him. Cousin Eddie. Yeah, I think he needs to
get him a pair of white shoes for Christmas.
You got to have the white dickies with the black dickie under the white sweater.
Or the scene where he's doing the waste from the.
The RV.
Our HR director actually did that one time in a Christmas card, I think, with another employee here that works in marketing. They were wearing the robe and the hat and everything.
I just like this. That's real nice, Clark. Yeah. Real nice.
Real nice.
Well, Tim, to your point, we also have Tom Hanks wandering through the halls here today.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, man.
From Polar Express.
I have a picture. I'll post it.
Yeah,
if
Bronson doesn't care.
Oh, no, he won't.
I don't think he cares.
I posted a picture of himself and me yesterday in our Christmas.
Yeah, one of our staff here, Bronson, in the news department, he goes
all out,
man, every day. He is a head to toe, and he's a big rascal, like 6'4" or something that.
And literally today it's head to toe.
Yeah, and he's got the costume on of?
Polar Express. Yeah. Tom Hanks and Polar Express.
It is on our Today's Issues Facebook page now.
And
that costume, that doesn't look like Amazon cheapo special.
He has got it going on now. You got to give him credit for that.
I asked him this morning where where did you get this?
Polar Express.
So he ordered some parts, and some parts he added himself. But it is excellent.
It is.
Yeah, it really is.
Yep.
He's got it down.
You think he's going to go out to lunch with that Polar Express outfit on?
I will make him.
I don't know. You're kind of trapped.
He's got to buy meat lunch.
Somebody needs to follow him around and videotape that, make a documentary.
That's right.
Or something like that.
The local TV stations will be saying, Tom Hanks is in Tupelo.
things you don't think about when you full dress up fully as the conductor from Polar Express. I have to go other places besides work. So
What's funny is he does the news video for us, and he has brought a change of clothes to be able to do the news video because it's kind of hard to take him seriously when you're dressed like that.
Right.
The book.
Oh, okay.
All right, so before Chris gets into the news of the day, at the bottom of the hour, our friend Dr. Ed Holliday, who is a Tupelo native, he is going to be with us in studio. He had a terrible experience earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
Where he got scammed.
Yeah, he sure did.
He got scammed out of a lot of money, and we're going to tell his story so maybe people can be more aware of scams out there that are there to try to drain your bank account, right?
Yep.
So we'll talk to Brother Ed coming up, Ed Holliday coming up at the bottom of the hour. The book is called Crypto Conned that he wrote about this. It's a short book. I read it, but it's a warning to all.
Yep.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Chris, what is our first story?
Well, President Donald Trump is going to have a primetime address tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, to sell his agenda. This will be various topics, including the economy. Remember, last week, President Trump spoke in Pennsylvania, where he talked about how he has helped lower prices, and he will continue to help lower prices as more of his economic agenda gets put into place. So tonight is basically a continuation of that, and quite frankly, it's going to be something I think we're going to see over the next several weeks or the next few months gearing up for the midterm elections. To go with this, we've got some audio from his press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, talking about tonight's speech. Clip one.
I hope your audience will tune in, and Americans across the country will tune in to hear from their president as well about the historic accomplishments that he has garnered for our country over the past year. If you look at the security of our border, if you look at stopping Joe Biden's inflation right in its tracks, bringing down gas prices to the lowest level in 5 years, President Trump will be talking about what's to come. The best is truly yet to come, as he often says. And so he'll be addressing the country about all of his historic accomplishments over the past year, and maybe teasing some policy that will be coming in the new year as well as we head into this Christmas season.
Okay, so President Trump speaking from the Oval Office tonight?
I think so.
That's rare. Presidents don't do that. Well, it's always been rare.
Mm-hmm.
It's only reserved for really maybe once a year,
mm-hmm.
or some kind of announcement about a military action that we got engaged in, Tony. So it's rare.
Yeah. Yeah, it is rare.
What do you think about what he's going to say tonight?
I think he'll tout the border, which he has done an excellent job with the border, securing it, cutting immigration almost, nearly down to zero. I think he'll tout that, and the inflation, he'll talk about inflation. And
good or bad?
He'll have a good report to give. He's not going to report
any bad news.
No, not going to be any bad news. He's probably just going to, from what I can tell, probably just kind of tout some.
Okay.
Of the,
so, let me just say this. I'm not saying this. I'm just reporting. I'm just the messenger here. I read a report last night where a majority of Americans believe that the economy is not doing well. And that, I know that's a generic phrase, not doing well, and that President Trump is not doing enough about it to improve it. That's the general theme, Fred, that's out there across the country. Fair or not, I'm the one who believes most presidents get too much blame and too much credit. Mm-hmm. You're kind of like quarterbacks. But as they say, perception Even if perception is reality in the minds of a lot of people. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think I'm puzzled to a certain extent by some of this polling, and I know it depends on where they poll, all of that sort of thing. But just a little bit of anecdotal, I went to my favorite fill up my gas tank place this week.
Yeah.
$2.17 for regular gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I know that's below the national average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's been a long time since regular gas was $2.17 in this town.
Yeah.
So if that is, and I can't say that's because of what Donald Trump has done.
You'll talk about that tonight, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. gas yeah. prices. But you remember how much in the way of economists tie the price of groceries to gas prices.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All of that sort of thing. So I think it is improving. Now, grocery prices, I have to admit, higher than last year still. Mm-hmm. But if gas prices are going to stay on their deceleration,
yeah,
$2.17 is, in my books, is absolutely incredible. I mean, if it gets down below $2,
yeah,
I can't remember the last time.
Well, the last time it did was, I believe, at the tail end of Trump's last presidency.
Yeah.
We got it just under $2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today's national average for a gallon of regular is $2.90, which is down from last month and last year. Diesel is also down from recent weeks. I would like to hear how we're going to do more in the way of maybe getting more diesel or putting more diesel fuel into the market, because I think that will help bring down the price of groceries further. Yeah. Everything we buy is brought there by gasoline, as Fred pointed out.
Yeah, and I think that national average of $2.90, I blame California for that. Because you get off the plane in California, rent a car, and you go to a gas station. I mean,
it's like being on another planet.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what President Trump says tonight from the Oval Office about the. So the theme of the speech is going to be about the economy. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. What's the next story?
Well, I want to make sure that we get this one in, and we've got a couple of different sound bites to go over, but let's begin with this one. Tommy Tuberville, the senator from Alabama who wants to be the governor of Alabama, is one of the Republican lawmakers out there, and really just Americans, that are concerned about the rise of Islam throughout the United States. And Tommy Tuberville, Senator Tommy Tuberville, is concerned about the rise of Islam, specifically the rise of radical Islam, and he's sharing his concerns about that, as well as his efforts to maybe fight the spread of Islam in Alabama. Clip 5.
Islam is not a religion. Mm-hmm. It's a cult. And their cult believes in totally different things we believe in. They don't believe in Americans, kill the infidel, do away with everything that we believe in. They hate Christians. So I'm saying they don't belong here. Let's pack them up and send them home. There's a small school that's a Muslim school in that area. They want a larger area where they can build a bigger school and bring in more young people to teach them the Muslim faith. I'm a senator right now, and I'm going to fight it. In a year, I'll be the governor. We're going to protect the people of Alabama. We're going to protect our Constitution. We're going to protect our state. We're going to protect our country.
That was Phil Robertson there.
It sounded like it.
No, Phil Robertson. The late Phil Robertson. Late he passed Robertson. Away, but they sound very similar. Oh. He and Senator Tommy Tuberville there. What do you think about what he just talked about there, Tony?
I think he makes...
You pack them up and send them off?
I agree with the...
Sentiment?
Sentiment. As far as the execution of it, I think it's very problematic. However, I understand that we've had some terrible events here lately, and I think people are kind of getting to the point where you start espousing for things that a few years ago you would not have considered. So he's referring to, I'm assuming, either shutting down, in this particular instance, either shutting down the school or not granting them a larger area to grow.
There's been an Islamic school in Birmingham since 1995. The group there, the Islamic group, wanted to go to Hoover, which is a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Part of Birmingham.
Part of Birmingham. Yeah. For a larger property. Mm-hmm. And there was a good deal of controversy about it, and Senator Tuberville was asked about it, and what you heard was his response.
Mm-hmm. He does not want them to have a larger area for a bigger school because he views Islam as a threat to our country.
Yes.
I mean, you may disagree with that, but there's a lot of people who share that sentiment, as you just said, Tony. I will say this, too. This is a complicated issue to handle for Americans and people in the West. What do I mean by that? Islam is not compatible with Western democracy. Mm-hmm. It's just not. Now you got a lot of Muslims who are nominal, who don't even know the Quran. They just their mom and dad were Arab or they're Persian or whatever. Therefore, they're Muslim, but they're not really practicing. Those people are basically harmless. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the teaching of Islam, you must submit to the Quran and right. the teaching of Islam, not submit to the values of America or our Constitution or our way of life, that is Western society, particularly, American, Canadian,
right.
Free speech, freedom of religion, freedom of movement, freedom to wear the kind of clothes you want to wear, all those things that I call it our way of life. And so if you have the spread of Islam, those things are going to be at odds with each other. In Europe, the Muslims have flooded into Europe from North Africa and from the Middle East, and they're threatening to change Europe altogether.
Yep.
And so we're not saying anything. Your dad is excellent on this in terms mm-hmm. of his understanding of history and how Islam spreads and what they do when they get a majority control. Let's hear from this lady.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yesterday, I came across a video from, do you have her name?
Yes, it's Siggy Flicker.
Okay, I was not familiar with her, but she's evidently an actress.
She's an Israeli-American podcaster.
She's an Israeli-American, and what I've just talked about, she expresses, talking about her concerns about the spread of Islam. Go ahead.
It's called world domination, and they have a very simple plan, and it's actually brilliant. It's infiltrate, populate, dominate, never assimilate, and then create a caliphate, and then bring upon Sharia law. It's the greatest, greatest threat to Western civilization. And if you notice, 85% of Muslim refugees, they don't go to other countries, their countries. They have 54 Muslim nations. You know why they come to Christian nations?
To change them.
And they do it by using our laws. Charlie Kirk said it best. Immigration without assimilation is an invasion. When I say that the world has a huge problem, and you've seen what happened in Europe, Europe has fallen, and we're too nice in America. We're letting people who come here who really don't love this country. I want to live in a country where everybody can practice the religion of their choice, but not have anybody threaten their right to exist or want to change this Christian nation that I'm living in.
Okay, when you say what she said, which is a more scholarly commentary than Senator Tuberville's, which mm-hmm. was basically raw and from the gut, and I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying she's been watching this for a long time and studying it. But when you say what she said, or you say what I said earlier, which was a perfectly rational analysis of what Islam is and what it intends to do, you will be called an Islamophobe.
Right.
And you will be called, they will be called hate speech.
Yes.
Go ahead, Tony, yeah. and then Fred.
Yeah, because they're both saying the same thing, Senator Tuberville and this Siggy Flicker, is that her name?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They're
yeah.
both saying the same thing. The end result of Islam anywhere, if you are a fundamental practicing Muslim, is that everyone around you, you've mentioned this, yeah. must submit. Submit to Allah, submit to Islam. That is different than, for instance, Christians, a Christian population growing within your country, where the end result of, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a devoted Christian, the end result is that you proselytize, you preach to those around you, you share the gospel with those around you, and whether they accept it or not is on them. You don't force it. There is no subjugation. Islam, the end result is you either submit or die. You die. So yeah, I 100% agree. It's not compatible with
that's
with one
of these.
Values.
That's one of these Muslims extremists yell Allah Akbar before they begin shooting people.
Yes,
because they're saying Allah Akbar means something about God. It's something in Arabic having to do with God. Allah Akbar. Great. God is great.
That is
God
great.
Is great. Yeah. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, and we have lots of examples right now of what Tommy Tuberville and this lady were talking about. Look at England. The mayor of London is not the only Islamic mayor, Muslim mayor. There are several now in England of communities. There are communities where Sharia law is practiced now in England. All right? So we're not exaggerating. We're not speculating anymore. What just the tragedy that just occurred in Australia, many people are pointing out the reason it was allowed to happen is because Australia has been extremely light on anti-Semitism. There have been synagogues, there have been firebombed. And the first reaction of the politician is, now let's be gentle here.
Right.
Let's not blame.
Just don't be Islamophobic.
Yeah, right-wing extremism also. Yeah.
You don't judge the whole bunch by the actions of a few.
You look at Dearborn, Michigan. All right. Dearborn, Michigan now basically is a heavily populated Muslim area. They have a Muslim mayor. There was a Christian who was opposed to naming some streets after a terrorist. He went to the city council meeting. That video, I'm sure, is out there. And the mayor basically said, you're an Islamophobe. I'll be glad when you leave this city.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where's the tolerance there?
Well, here's another. When I said complicated earlier on how to handle this, when you are you grow up with American values or Western values, same things taught in Canada, as I mentioned earlier, our way of life. It is true that you don't want to judge a group of people by the actions of a few. That is a value that we treasure, except white nationalism or white supremacists. Then we all get lumped into that.
Right,
they don't say just supremacists. They say whites.
Yeah.
But any other group you say Muslim terrorists, they go, wait a minute. No, there's just terrorists. It's not Muslim. You see how the double standard is, but I digress. But it is true that you don't want to judge a group by the actions of a few, but when a few, quote, keep doing it over and over and over and over and over and over again, that is terrorist actions around the world, the vast majority of them are done by Muslim, I call them extremists, then you have to start saying, well, why are these people doing this all the time? What's their motivation? Well, their motivation is a strict understanding of Islam and Muslim teaching. That's why what we call terrorists, a strict devoted Muslim would probably call heroes, because they're taking down the infidel being the Christian and the Jew. That's why in Iran they call the American is called the Great Satan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Israel is the little Satan. So we are to be destroyed. Why? Because in their eyes, we're Satan.
Yeah.
So any more?
And why do you think within 48 hours after the massacre in Israel, October 7, 2023, we had hundreds of students on our university campuses, mostly up in the Northeast, on our universities blaming Israel for what Hamas had just done to Israel? Why do you think that happened?
Yeah.
It's because of years of indoctrination in these schools to hate Israel.
Well, also, if you look at Islam around, we've got to go to a break. If you look at where Islam is dominant around the world, this lady you heard quoted earlier, there's no freedom of speech.
No.
Okay. There's no freedom of religion.
No.
There's no freedom of movement, things of that nature that we're accustomed to.
Yeah.
There's no Bill of Rights in Saudi Arabia. Okay.
No.
Or Afghanistan, where the Taliban rules supreme, and where Islamic countries are, and they're dominant. That is that the Muslim that they control with their religion.
Yes.
That's in Iran. It's the mullahs.
Yeah.
The mullahs are the.
They came in. They came, you know, Iran was
Ayatollah Khomeini.
Was a secular nation. Yeah. They came in and.
Yeah. We'll be back momentarily with today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth? Truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. And this is a live radio show you're listening to, so we could mess up and end our careers just by simply uttering something. Tim here with my guest in studio, Tony. My colleagues, Tony, hey. Fred, and Chris. And again, we thank you for listening. Well, spammers and scammers are everywhere today, and we've all seen it or experienced it or been, some cases, sadly, been victims of scams. And we're going to talk to a gentleman today who's in studio with us. Our friend Ed Holliday, Ed Doc. Yes, he's been called Doc his whole life, and he knows why.
I saw Jonathan trying to get his autograph. Jonathan Coker.
And he's not going to be your Huckleberry. Okay. Ed's a native of Tupelo. He was in the dentist profession for a long time. Still are. Mm-hmm. And a friend of ours wrote a book about a terrible experience that he had to go through, was that earlier this year? That was earlier this year, wasn't it?
It was Valentine's 2025, earlier this year.
Okay. Yes. By the way, if you're wondering, Ed talks like us. So
God bless him.
Except for Fred.
Yeah.
I'm trying to learn how to talk like Fred.
Yeah, I'm working on Fred.
Yeah, Fred, maybe a little Nova Scotia accent coming your way. But all right, Ed, your book is titled Crypto Conned and My 200K Nightmare, and I talked to you about this a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about you coming on the radio to tell your story to warn other people, maybe not necessarily about crypto theft, although that's what your experience was, cryptocurrency theft, but also just how scammers work with social engineering and so forth and so on. So start with this. What? How'd you get involved in the cryptocurrency world first?
Well, I've been involved for about 8 years.
It's okay.
It wasn't anything new to me, and I thought I was very secure doing things. Had been doing things in a very secure way for about 8 years.
Okay.
And so we did pretty well at it. I did okay. You know, when I mentioned my book, a couple of things it helped out with, those have cryptocurrencies. You have different wallets you put them in. I had things in different wallets.
All right, what happened here? How'd you get conned? Tell us about this story here.
Yeah, very important for people to understand, and that's why I'm here, because I want to help people, because I don't want what happened to me to happen anywhere else. It was one of the most devastating things that happened in my life, but it started just a normal day. I wasn't at work.
This is back in February.
It's back in February on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And I was actually getting taxes ready for 2024 taxes to get it ready to get to my accountant, and I got a phone call. And you know, I looked at my cell phone and said Google, and
it said Google.
It did say Google was calling me, and I looked at that and I thought, well, I know it's not Google, but I answered, and that was the number one mistake. I answered it. I shouldn't have, but they said they were Google, and they said they had frozen my account, and because someone was trying to get into my Google account, and they just want to make sure I was safe. And I told them I didn't believe they were Google. And they tried to explain the word, and they sent me emails. And I spent about 30 minutes.
You mean to prove that they were?
Yeah. Trying to convince me. And I spent about 30 minutes back and forth with emails. And then they finally said, look, if we sent you, you know, you got your phone. If we sent you a message on the YouTube app, would that make you feel better? I said, well, I knew Google owns YouTube. And I had gotten messages, you know, sometimes Google will tell you, hey, you know, check your YouTube app. I mean, that's happened. When I worked with Google, getting something. So I thought, yeah, that'd make me feel better. And sure enough, a message came in on YouTube app saying, is this you? And then having three numbers, you had to pick a number, and they told me what number to pick. But they were just scammers. But they just wanted to get in.
But
and
you
say,
didn't know it at the time.
No, I didn't know it. You know, I mean, everything What were they
supposedly trying to help you?
Well, they said someone
prevent you from doing.
Well, they said someone's attacking my account.
Okay.
They were trying
and they're
to
there to help in. You keep that from happening.
Yeah, and they were trying. They said someone's trying to get into my Google account,
okay.
And they wanted just to make sure that I was safe. And they said,
okay.
Let's get you a temporary password.
Okay. Okay.
So you know.
So to review, and you guys jump in here when you want to. So to review, you shouldn't have ever answered the phone call in the first place.
Right. I didn't know who it was.
I'm not trying to make you relive your.
No. You're going to give me trauma, Tim.
I know. But you shouldn't have. Rule number one, don't answer a phone from somebody you don't know. But number two, they pulled you along here.
Yes.
This is pretty. Sophisticated. They call this social engineering, don't they?
That's what they call it.
And you're alone. By that, I mean, you're not consulting with anybody as you go through this process. Is this all happening in a matter of hours?
This happened in, you know, about 30 minutes. And then finally, when I agreed to say, let's get a temporary password, and that's all they wanted to do, they said, you're safe now. I said, that's all I need to do. And I said, yeah, so you can hang up. So I hung up. And that was all. You know, when I thought,
you thought the problem was taken care of at that point?
Yeah, the problem was taken care of.
All right, what happened then?
About an hour later, I get a phone call from, because I have cryptocurrency and it's on what they call a crypto exchange. Coinbase is one of the biggest ones in the
world. I've heard of that, yeah.
And Coinbase, one of their mottos is, we will never call you.
Right.
But about an hour later, I got a phone call. They said, we're from... and it said Coinbase on it. Mm-hmm. And it said, my cell phone said Coinbase. And it said, we are the Coinbase asset security protection. And they said, someone is trying to remove 1,999 Chainlink tokens. That's a cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. a token. And I knew that was like, is worth $38,000, and that scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they do the social engineering, Tim, for people. And you look back at most scams; they put fear in your life.
Yeah,
and they know it works. Now I'm a dentist, and I know sometimes I deal with epinephrine, and we put in anesthetics to keep it lasting longer. But when you get fear, it's what they call the fight or flight mechanism. Everybody's heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way God made our bodies, fight or flight. You got to do something. And when you do, the epinephrine kicks in.
A chemical in your body?
Your brain, your body makes the epinephrine naturally so that you can run if you got to outrun a lion or a bear or a tiger or something. Or you fight. But, you know, for us now, when that hits us, it does minimize your ability to do rational thinking. it shuts down because you can go in that fight or flight mechanism. Your brain shuts down the rational thinking on the frontal cortex.
Especially when you're isolated.
And you're isolated, not talking to anybody. And, you know, I was sitting there on the phone, and they said someone was trying to remove my, and they knew, this is what got me, is that they knew the exact number. Now, looking back, for people when Google called me, they got into my account, the scammers got in, they knew exactly how many tokens I had. I didn't think anybody would know that but Coinbase. But when they told me, they knew exactly. But even then, I still didn't believe them. I said, I don't really believe you are. And I spent, about 30 to 45 minutes getting Coinbase to convince me that these scammers.
Right.
That's it, who were posing as Coinbase.
Yeah, they were posing. You know, I want to say that, you know, now I know they were scammers. But they, again, they sent me emails and they tell me, you go to any email that you ever, that you have sent to Coinbase and just, you know, use that email and do a reply to that. And
step by step by step, you're giving them everything they want.
Everything. And then,
aren't you?
And then that's why I detail.
Aren't you, Mr. Holiday?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sound like a prosecutor.
Yeah. Right. I'm sweating
right
now.
Okay. Hey. We'll pause right here. We'll get back into the story in just a minute. Tell us about your book, and it's really a short book that you can read it in an hour.
Yeah,
but it's how can people?
This is tomato. It's got so much wisdom packed in there because it's up to date. It's about social engineering, like we talked about. It tells the detailed story. I'll go deep into detail just exactly what happened. You can go to cryptocondbook.com, cryptocondbook.com. And I got more information there on it.
I got PTSD just reading it.
Yeah. Well, and that's where it's, you know, it's a shocker. Cause people don't, it says in the title, if you didn't pick it up, my 200K nightmare, before it's over with, I lost $200,000. And the reason I wrote the book, because I had to bring in a guy to help clean up computers. And he said, Ed, I know you're a good writer. You need to write a book. Because he said, I know so many people get scammed, and they're full of guilt and full of shame. They don't want anybody to know. And he said, if you'll just write what happened to you, you'll help a lot of people. Hmm. And
so what's the name of it and where to get it?
CryptoCon, my 200K nightmare, and 10 key steps to safeguard your future. You go to CryptoConBook.com. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can get the e-versions there, or you know, you can go to the website at CryptoConBook.com.
Yeah, we're talking Ed Holiday, Holliday. Tony, go ahead.
So Ed, at this point, are they trying to get you to transfer crypto from one wallet to another? Is that what this ended?
Basically, ended with? What it is, what they did again to make me feel better. You know, again after they emailed me all this stuff and convinced me that they were who they said they were, which they were scammers, they were liars. And again, my mind's not thinking rationally because I'm thinking, going back to Proverbs, you know, pride coming before a fall. I knew I had $38,000 and they telling me somebody was trying to take it. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, I had more than that in there. And what you just asked, Tony, was the fact that they said, we don't want you to move it off Coinbase. Mm-hmm. We want you to move it from the exchange to a Coinbase wallet. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, my bright mind, I just said, hey, I don't have one. So oh, we'll help you set one up.
Oh man,
that's what we're. That's about. They said that's what we're here for, is to help.
Yeah,
that's why we're guard. You know, we got to secure those assets.
Let me ask you this: so, how long did all this take to do?
Well, but when the fake people calling and saying, you know, Coinbase, it was about an hour. By the time I went through everything, and
so you lost that whole amount in an hour.
About an hour and a half by the time.
And you realized, and then you realized what had happened?
Well, what was happening was when I was transferring, again, the scammers were using me to rob myself. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I was just giving them everything they wanted. And this is the sad part, and I put it in the book for, you know, I won't, you know, people need to read the book because it goes in detail what to be aware of. But one of the things, and if it's a horror movie, and you say, oh, don't go in that room. Well, I went in the room where the monster was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they said, we're having trouble, if, you know, getting this transferred. And you know, if you want us to help you quicker, you know, if we need, you know, if you'll just put in this, you know, app, you know, download this, then we can see your screen. And that was the thing. I didn't know what's going on because I just thought they were helping. But when I allowed them to see my screen, they were in my computer. And these wallets that I thought were secure, when they were talking to me, and I figured it had to be a team. I don't know how it all works, but as they were talking to me about moving my coins off the exchange to this other place, which was about maybe $50,000-$60,000, I had 7 or 8 wallets in this computer. I used this computer. I thought it was secure. I wouldn't use it for anything but my cryptocurrency. I only pulled it out for cryptocurrency. But they had what they call a turbo app where it sucked out all my information in my computer, spit everything out, and kept the passwords and my wallets. And they were going in my wallets and wiping my wallets out. I had no clue what they were doing that when they were talking to me about this one thing. And by the time I started figuring it out, I didn't see some assets. So when I said, hey, where's this Bitcoin? I don't see it now. And they said, oh, it takes 24 hours to show up. But I knew it wasn't right.
Right.
And then that's when I realized, and they knew they hung up.
Did you, how'd you deal with this? Because this has all happened. Do you call the FBI at this point? How do you deal with something like this?
When it happens, of course, it's devastating. And I mean, I felt as bad as I've ever felt in my life. Because, $200,000. How much got to give the American Family Association? How much I can give the other groups and things that I wanted to be able to do, and so I mean, you feel with guilt, because I did it. I mean, I was scammed, and the scammer stole it from me. But I didn't know what to do, and I had to go out and walk, and I knew my wife said, well, you need to call, and I had to tell her first. That was not easy, but she took it very well. I got a great Christian wife, and so said, we got to call somebody, but my mind could not think, and she didn't know anything about cryptocurrencies, but I knew I knew I needed to talk to somebody, but I did get a hold of some people that helped me figure out, shut your computer down, get off Wi-Fi. Yeah. Once they're in the computer, she said, you got to get off the internet.
Right.
Any computer you use, just get off the internet. And then they told me, basically what I had to do the next day, computer guy here in town that I knew of, he helped me get my computer cleaned up, get off the internet. Basically, I went and bought a little cheap computer, a whole new computer, so I could work on the internet.
But you knew at that time that was gone.
Yeah, and he told me, and I know, because they got something called a tornado app, and when the scammers use it, like if you have $1,000 of Bitcoin, they put it through that tornado app, and it divides it up in 1,000 little pieces, so it's hard, if the government really wanted to, they're not going to worry about $200,000.
Yeah, because if they transferred the whole amount from one wallet to the other, the way cryptocurrency works is you would be able to see what wallet that it was transferred to, and then you may be able to derive some information as to where it's at. But yeah,
they go back and get that, and then you get all the information. But when they put in that tornado app,
it splits it up, and you'll never get it back.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Our guest in studio is Ed Holliday. Ed is talking about a nightmare that he went through last February, where he was conned out of $200,000. And he wrote a book about it to warn other people. It's more than just about crypto. It's about warning how to avoid being scammed.
If you have an online banking account, you got any assets, whatever, they're coming after them. The scammers want it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Tony? I know this is your field of study for a lot of times. That is internet technology, which is not exactly the same as cybersecurity.
Right.
But at the same time, every day you read about data breaches that are taking place here and all over the world, where the information for all people is just out there on the internet, phone numbers, emails, social security numbers now are out there everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you suggest you do?
You have to be very protective So almost, when you're dealing with anything online, you almost need to be paranoid. So you just, if you don't, I mean, seriously, if you don't recognize a phone number, you just don't answer it. If it is someone who, a company or a, your bank or whatever, who really needs to get in touch with you, they will, they'll get to you. So you need to be paranoid and not answer. Just don't answer numbers you don't recognize.
Period.
Period. And because they can also mask themselves. So what they did to Ed is they spoofed themselves as Google.
What does spoof mean for those?
Well,
who don't know?
So
pretend
you,
you're somebody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, you mask your phone number.
Okay.
And the identity of your phone number, and you basically the information you're sending when you call someone will they'll mask it so that when it pops up on your phone it says Google, or when it pops up on your phone it says Coinbase. So the philosophy I have and that I recommend to most people is just don't answer the phone if you get a call from a number you don't recognize. Second of all, you just data breaches are going to happen. So everybody's information here and listening, I hate to say it, at some point your information is going to get breached. Your email address is going to get breached. Maybe not your password, which is what I'm guessing is. If I had to guess, and I don't know, Ed, you may have had someone do some more digging on how this started, but if I had to guess, Ed's information was out there from a previous data breach, an email address, and a phone number. They didn't have your password, so what they needed to do was try and contact you directly and gain access to more of that information. So your data is going to get breached. You just need to make sure that you secure your accounts to the recommended levels. So two-factor authentication can be annoying. I know folks, that's that code that you'll get to your phone, texted to your phone, or mm-hmm. if you have a second, you know, a separate authentication app. I know it's annoying trying to log into your account. You put your password in, your super secure password, and then you got to do something else. I know it's annoying, but it's there to protect you as an added level, because that really does ensure that if your password was to get hacked, or if you did divulge it, you know, by accident, or you were, you know, tricked into doing it, then there's an extra level there that the bad actor couldn't get into your account without that secondary code. So taking those precautions, you just got to be, you just,
you know, nowadays,
be
careful. Nowadays, too, you have to physically secure your phone or whatever, a computer. But most people, yeah. I know a person, a relative of mine recently, they were in New Orleans for a convention. Mm-hmm. And had their phone stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly how it happened without that four. You know how you have to have a code? Most of us use codes to get into our phone. Right?
Yeah.
But some way or another, they were able to get into the phone while the code was not. This person did have a code, but. It was like
maybe
he
grabbed the phone before.
Well,
it
I think he left it in his backpack, went to the restroom, which was 10 steps away at a restaurant in a nice part of town. But somebody was watching, and it was probably a team, a couple people watching. So when he went to the restroom, of course, he shouldn't have left the phone, but he did because he didn't think anything of it. You know, right. when you're 10
feet. We all do that.
Yeah, when you're 10 feet away.
Yeah,
from the restroom in a nice part of town, and just, you know, and boom, the phone's gone. Lost several thousand dollars to a bank account. So what I'm saying is, I hate to bring up another thing to be worried about, but you better keep your phone secured at all time. Don't just, especially when you're leaving it where you're out in crowds and things of that nature. It's just like pickpockets.
Yeah,
you know. Go ahead.
And Tim, what Tony said, and one of the things I found out, and it's so easy, what's prevalent is the spoof emails, and people have to really, if AI now, they'll look just like I said, they make their emails look just like the real ones.
Go ahead, Chris.
Something I've noticed in the last couple of days, and other people have mentioned this as well, perhaps on the show, now I'm getting text messages from people, and it's like the scammer is trying to pass themselves as somebody you know. It's like, hey, how's your day going? Or I forgot to tell you something last night. And they want you to be.
They want you to say, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And then they know they have a live phone number,
right.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's just it's a scary world out there.
I got things this week from Canada. I Googled the number and found out it's somebody in, you know, some part of Canada.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had people tell me they got texts from me I didn't send. So that's spoofing you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess one of the safe practices I found out is we get so many emails, but if somebody asks you for money or saying you owe...
Well, click on this link.
You click on it, but you don't ever click on links. You can go to your bank and go in and log in.
If you get something about your credit card, go to the company directly. If you get an email from your bank or a text from your bank,
that's right.
Call them directly.
Them.
Do not click a link.
That's what we tell our employees here, even at AFA, is if you get an email or a text message from somebody and something about it just doesn't seem right, you know, just call them. Just pick up the phone and say, "Hey, did you send me this?"
I've done that several times.
So it's just
we've had, and people, businesses have this every day, all day, all over the country, all around the world. Really, we've had people try to give us fake invoices.
I know my dentist office, you know, they'll get calls or we'll get emails saying, "Oh, you owe this." Yeah. You know, this phone company, you owe this, and it's all scams. So much you have to be looking out.
Well,
for.
They can make them with AI. They can make them look so real. It's like, absolutely. We've had at least a couple, not many, but we've had a couple of attempts at fake invoices. But that's a big deal around the world.
Yeah.
So the book is named what, and where do you get it, Ed?
CryptoConned, My 200K Nightmare. You go to CryptoConned Book.
CONNED.
Yes.
I'm translating your Southern English for people in Oregon right now.
Thank you, Tim.
CryptoConned, CONNED.
Book.com
by our guest, Dr. Ed Holliday, Holliday. We're sorry you went through this, brother, but the Lord saw you through it.
Yep. And I'm alive and well, but all those have been scammed. Life is good afterwards when you put your faith in the Lord.
Amen. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.